I'm going to kill her.
The corner of my mouth twitched, but I kept my gaze on my book. I was very cozy curled up in the green velvet sofa by the fire. I did not want to encourage the tear my aunt was working herself up to.
I never should have agreed to this,
she went on, completely ignoring the fact that I was ignoring her. She was also ignoring the annoyed cat on the chaise longue behind her, thumping his tail. He was trying to sleep.
You know I can't tolerate the vast majority of people for longer than a day or two.
I would have said a couple of hours, tops, but who was I to quibble?
But to let that woman stay for 5 days? Madness.
I reached for my mug of honeybush orange tea. It was very soothing. I probably should have made a pot to share. And I don't know if I would call it madness. The woman in question was paying for her stay while her historic home was undergoing some much-needed renovations. And when you run a B&B, you have to expect that on occasion, you're going to have demanding guests. Although some guests really were more demanding than others. Case in point, Constance Graves. Constance had been staying with us at Ivywood Hollow the past week, and it hadn't taken long for us to discover it was not going to be an easy stay. Evenfall, Connecticut was a small town, so we knew Constance could be demanding, but we really hadn't been concerned. After all, we had always been able to win over hard-to-please guests in the past. We were very good at what we did. But Constance turned out to be a special case. To begin, she insisted there be no other guests staying at the B&B while she was there. It was a completely reasonable request, given she was willing to pay for all the rooms, and it seemed like it would make our lives a whole lot easier. Less people, less work, right? Not so. Not so. Personally, I knew we were in for trouble when I showed her where she'd be staying. The Rosewater Room. It's gorgeous. 4-poster bed, floor-to-ceiling windows, silk upholstered divan that was perfect for reclining when life became too much. What Constance saw, however, was the white Egyptian cotton sheets peeking out from under the damask comforter on her bed. They were too white. She was afraid of the glare they might give off in the morning sun. When I changed them to a lovely taupe, she found the shade a bit too muddy. I was able to get away with the blush-colored set, but I'm pretty sure that was only because she couldn't think of an objection to throw at them quickly enough. And it didn't end there. The meals were always too hot, or too cold, too spicy, or too bland. And all these complaints usually came before she even lifted her fork, if she lifted it at all. Oh, and her room temperature. We could never get that right. 74 degrees at Ivywood Hollow bed and breakfast did not feel like the 74 degrees she was used to in her house. My absolute favorite, though, was when she told me she found the antique blue inlay of the fireplace to be a little garish. I asked her if she'd like to change rooms, given she was paying for them all, but she told me with a drawn-out sigh that she'd suffer through. I couldn't help but feel for her, though. She was obviously unhappy, and someone that unhappy deserved a little leeway.
I could push her off the balconette.
Or not. I smiled at my Aunt Nora. She couldn't help herself. She was fiery by nature. Constance had just asked for the flower arrangement in her room to be replaced because the fresh-cut hydrangeas were a little much. And it was a miracle Nora hadn't finished her off then and there. Most people had the good sense not to trifle with my aunt and her plants. Nora, along with her sister Izzy and I, ran the B&B together. But she was the one who took care of the gardens and general ambiance of the bed and breakfast. It was amazing how she could take the simplest of places and transform it into something warm and welcoming, especially given the fact that warm and welcoming were probably two words that had never been used to describe her. When she walked down the street, usually dressed in black, with her red hair flowing, you'd find at least two or three kids following behind. It was a game of bravery for them. Nora was a lot like a tiger in a rickety cage, beautiful to look at and dangerous. Those kids knew at any moment she might turn and lunge at them, giving them the thrill of a lifetime. Not that she ever really lunged. The turn was enough to send them off in peals of terrified laughter.